You're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew. Wait a second. That's like on the Gilligan's Island song where they go, you know, the movie star and the rest. You know, all they had is, there's two left. It's just the professor and Marianne. I mean, later they say the professor and Marianne, but early on, they were just like, you know, the movie star and the rest. What? The professor and Marianne are chopped liver? Marianne's the hottest girl in that show. Anyway.
Good morning, geeks and dweebs. That's right. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, and this is your Nerd News Network. Today is Friday, April 4th, 2014. And I know this thing's actually out early today. That's because I haven't slept yet. Why not? Well, I'm actually doing a radio hit as of this recording in about an hour, so I decide, you know what, I'll stay up, record this, get it out, this way I can sleep today, and have the normal fucked up sleep schedule that I'm normally used to. So, lots of cool things going on today. I'm going to talk a little bit about The Winter Soldier. I went and saw that last night with Blair. Also going to be talking about role-playing politicians today. An interesting casting choice involving the new TMNT movie. A video game journalist that has left the industry. Something involving Halo. A new microbe that may have explained what happened millions of years ago when everything died. And that's pretty much about it. Oh, and site updates. So anyway, as you heard last night, we had a new Future Imperfect posted. Basically, me and Steve Megatron Phillips discussing to trek or not to trek. That is indeed the question. Basically, has this franchise, has it just run its course? Is it done? So hopefully you guys will give us feedback on that. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net, as always. Plus, if you guys want to interact with the show week to week, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Always welcome questions, comments, and when I have a question of the week. My question of the week this week, I'm actually going to put at the beginning of the show, is what did you think of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and how it's going to affect the Marvel Cinematic Universe going forward? Suffice to say, it's a bit of a game changer. So I guess I'll just kind of start with my review of Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I would say it's probably one of the better constructed Marvel movies at the moment. It's not as humorous. It does have some humorous and light moments, but it's more like an action spy thriller than it is anything. Basically, the setup is something bad is going on with S.H.I.E.L.D. and Cap gets involved in him and the Black Widow, and they're trying to figure out why the Winter Soldier is trying to kill Nick Fury. And there's a high-ranking S.H.I.E.L.D. official, Alexander Pierce, who also wants to get to the bottom of it as well. And that's where the Winter Soldier comes in. He's this assassin. And there are some curveballs thrown in this movie. And it's going to shake up how the Marvel Universe is actually going to shape up pretty much from here on out. And the most immediate effects will be felt on ABC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. beginning next week. I'm actually really excited to see how they're going to address this situation because, well, it would be the big pink elephant in the room if they didn't. And if they didn't, I probably would stop watching the show because this has such a huge impact as to what will happen. Unlike the Thor the Dark World thing, where it basically got a passing mention and a whole lot of who gives a shit. In terms of Marvel Easter eggs, oh my god, there are crap done. They mention Stephen Strange. They mention other characters like Iron Man gets a shout out, the Hulk gets a shout out. There's a computer that sounds like Jarvis, although I don't think it is. You see the Avengers Tower, but it's a blink and you'll miss it sort of thing. There are two post-credit scenes, so stick around right until the very end. In terms of stuff that you might really get a little bit of meat out of, one of the bad guys, he's pretty much the movie's first boss enemy, is a guy called Batroc the Leaper, and he's played by George St. Pierre, and he's like this French mercenary thief guy. He's been on He's been in some of the cartoons. He's been in some of the video games. I think he's supposed to be in the Facebook Alliance game whenever that updates next. But overall, it's very good. I actually missed probably about 2 minutes of it because I had to go to the bathroom. But it moves along at such a good pace, you're never bored. And when this movie ends, it will color a couple movies before in the Marvel Universe, and you'll be looking at them definitely differently, thinking, huh, well, didn't see that coming. So it's really cool. I cannot recommend it enough. It is not as the hyperkinetic fun that the Avengers was, where it's that whole feel-good thing, but this, it feels differently in the fact that this feels like an important part of the Marvel Universe. It really feels like something is genuinely going on, and it's entertaining as hell. Like, it's probably in the top three of the Marvel movies currently to date, so go check it out. That's my brief review of Captain America the Winter Soldier. It's not as concise as I'd like because I'm tired as hell, but hey, what are you going to do? All right, so let's get started with the Nerd News Network. And this is a story that I picked up because I like politics. I really do. And I found this one via The Escapist. There's a guy in Florida. He is he's an attorney, and he's running for the 3rd Congressional District in Florida. And his name is, I just want to pull it up here, Jacob Rush, and he's a Republican candidate. Nothing against Republicans, just so we're crystal clear on this. Anyway, so this guy, he's a former sheriff's deputy, and and he's basically a pretty straight guy, a pretty straight shooting kind of guy, right? You know, boy Captain America. He's like campaign ad is like his hand on a Bible. He's like a father to a newborn, and he's even like talking to school children about the values of the U.S. Constitution. Very patriotic bullshit. You might be wondering, why the fuck are we talking about this on Nerd News? Well, this guy likes to play Vampire the Masquerade. Oh my god! Yeah, he's a LARPer, and he's part of the Mind's Eye Society, otherwise known as the Camarilla. What's even more screwed up about this is, it's not the fact that he's a LARPer, because hey, I used to LARP myself. Vampire, actually, loved it. In fact, Derek Burrows, who's one of the collaborators here on This Week in Geek, as well as These Warriors Are Terrible, plays Mage. Mage the Ascension, with a group up in Guelph and in Toronto as well. So anyway, this blog just blasts him, describes him as a weirdo, basically. Evidently, he's his bizarre double life, where he's known as Chaz Darling or Stas von der Winst, and he's also known as Johann Gambry, Zane Daly, the Chrysler, and Archbishop Kettering. So yeah, basically, they're trying to spin this as a negative thing, like the fact that this guy's a bit of a nerd. And they actually have a picture on this blog, which I'm actually going to link, where it shows him, presumably, in his LARP gear. He's got his, like, contacts in. He's got, presumably, his vampire outfit. I kind of wonder if this guy was, like, a seneschal. If you don't know what that is, seneschal is basically, like, the sheriff of the cities in Vampire. Which I'm sure will play Vampire and These Warriors Are Terrible at some point, because I love Vampire the Masquerade, but fuck the Requiem. So yeah, there's that. There's also an opinion piece over on The Escapist, and I'm actually gonna link that one too. But yeah, it's just kind of funny because he does say some things. Jake Rush actually did issue a statement. As a straight shooter, yes, I play and have played video games, role-playing games, board games, Yahtzee, Clue, and have acted in dozens of theater productions, states Rush. All my life, I've been blessed with a vivid imagination, from playing George Washington in elementary school to dressing up as a superhero last Halloween for trick-or-treaters. Any cursory review of the internet will show that I have played these heroes and villains, continued Jake Rush. As a practicing Christian, I am deeply offended that the opposing campaign and their supporters would take gaming and theater hobby and mischaracterize it, continued Rush. The very definition of acting is expressing ideas and thoughts that are not your own, just like I don't like to believe I am Macbeth, which I have played, and I am none of the characters, continued Jake Rush. Bottom line, there's nothing wrong with being a gamer. Huh. Good for this guy. I don't know too much more about his politics, but you know what? As a person, I'd vote for you. So, yeah. Being a nerd is not such a good thing if you're running in politics. Man, can you imagine what would happen if I ran for politics? And it's actually kind of funny, because I remember last year on Last Exit to Ponyville, we talked, me, Trevor, and Laura were talking about being a brony and how Trevor couldn't express that in his workplace because it would make people look down on him, whereas myself, I clearly don't give a shit. I am who I am. You like me or you hate me, and I've kind of made a career out of that. Or basically, I'm the career nerd, and for better or for worse, I am who I am. So I don't know. I guess we'll see how this all plays out when the election comes up. But good luck to you, Jake Rush, and I'm glad you're a gamer. Hopefully, someday we'll roll some bones together. And then we have this story. So this story comes to us from IO9. So I do trust these guys. So as you guys know, later on this year, there's going to be a new TMNT movie. We've talked about it before. And it does look not terrible, is what I'm going to go with. Not exactly great, knocking our socks off, nor is it the next mutation, which was basically shit. So, they've started releasing some of the voice cast for this movie. And they've announced Leonardo. It's not Jason Biggs, though that would be a fantastic choice if they just took the cast from the Nickelodeon cartoon and brought them over here. Would it work? Maybe with Jason Biggs. I'm not so sure about Rob Paulsen, but whatever. The medium has to fit the voice. Discussion for a different day. So Leonardo, the most serious of the Ninja Turtles, the leader, Johnny fucking Knoxville. I'm Leonardo and welcome to Jackass. Okay, now let me get this out of the way. I love Johnny Knoxville. I love his movies. Even when he's being retarded, I love him. I thought he was an underappreciated character in The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger early last year. I liked it. And Johnny Knoxville, when you give him something to play with, he's legitimately okay. But Leonardo. Ayla, what the fuck are you doing? My cat is freaking out and playing with something on the floor. It's very, very distracting. But anyway, yeah, Leonardo and Johnny Knoxville. I never would have picked it. I'm almost afraid to see who the rest of the cast is going to be. Oh, yeah. And there's more news along with this. Splinter. A voice that should convey wisdom. This whole Zen-like property. Could it be like the guy from the 2007 Turtles movie? No, because he's dead. It's not the guy from the original cartoons, nor is it from anything of recent memory. He's being played by Monk, Tony Shalhoub. That's interesting. I'm not quite sure how to feel about that. I mean, he's a fine actor, and I could see how you get that serious intonation from his voice, how he is, I don't know, I guess a serious man for a serious movie, because Monk was fantastic, that series, and I enjoyed him in the Men in Black movies, and, you know, he's done a few things here and there, but anyway, in Ninja Turtles, that's just kind of a weird casting choice. But hey, it's not Hugo Weaving, who seems to be in everything these days. So, There's that. Ninja Turtles with Monk and Johnny Knoxville. Moving on. Kind of sticking with movie news, but this kind of transitions into video games. Well, this year, there's going to be a new Halo Digital something. And that's coming, that Ridley Scott is going to be involved in this. And it's not the TV series that's going to be produced by Steven Spielberg that's going to be exclusively on Xbox One. Though it wouldn't surprise me if we see a trailer for it at E3. Sorry. It wouldn't surprise me if we see a trailer for that at E3 this year. But yeah, they're talking about it. It's going to be done by the end of the year. So they took the guy who created Prison Break, Paul Schuring, and he's been brought in to write the series. And the guy they've got directing it is a guy named Sergio Mimica Gezin. Probably screwed up his name, but he's worked on Heroes. He's done some pretty cool stuff on Battlestar Galactica. He worked on Minority Report and AI. So, I'm hopeful for this. This actually could be really cool. Now, one of the things I've always wanted to see them do... Excuse me, I'm more tired than I realize. With the Halo franchise, is I would love to see it follow a squad of ODS troopers like Band of Brothers. And you kind of saw this with the viral marketing for Halo ODST, and a little bit with Halo 4, where it showed the guy becoming a Spartan. But more so with Halo ODST, where you saw the troopers get their asses kicked, but they still continue fighting on. They've got the tattered regiment flag. They put the battle rifle in the dirt with the guy's helmet on top of it. So, I don't know. It could be cool. It's digital only. I want to know if it's going to be live action. Is it going to be animated? Is it going to be computer animated? Either way, should be cool. I'm really hoping to see something neat come out of this. I love Halo. Though I haven't played Halo 4 in like... forever, which means I still have content packs to download, and I still didn't finish the seasonal content they did for those missions you could do online. Oh my god, I'm sorry. Let's keep going here before I pass out. Alright, so moving right along here. One of my favorite personalities in the field of video game reporting, Adam Sessler. I've met this guy at PAX East like twice. In fact, cute story, little story. Back, my first PAX East, so 2010, me and Justin, we spent a good chunk of the convention apart, actually. So I'm, at that time, it was held in the Boston Convention Center. So, I'm in Dunkin' Donuts, because why not? And I'm getting my coffee, and I'm getting some milk to drink. And there's Adam Sessler. I'm like, oh, hey, that's awesome. And from 10 o'clock that morning, from when I got into it on the Sunday, everywhere I went, there was Sessler. And then in 2011, I went to PAX East with a couple of friends, including Justin, and Sessler was in the same hotel as us. And I remember seeing him and Morgan Webb coming into the elevator quite inebriated. That was fun. But yeah, he's a guy I really respect. I love his opinions. I respect the work he's done in the industry and how he's kind of made game journalism something a little bit more. And then I found out he's leaving Revision 3, I guess effective immediately. Yeah, he's going on to do digital consulting of some kind. He's now the president of Theoryhead Incorporated, a consultancy for entertainment and media. This is about the most unprofessional I've ever felt, guys. I'm really, really sorry. Anyway, moving on. So yeah, he wrote about it on his blog that after 16 years in the field, he's gonna leave. So I'll read you what he wrote. After some incredible achievements over the last year and a half, I am announcing my my departure from Rev 3 Games and Discovery Digital Networks. 16 years in front of a camera covering the video game industry has brought me to a point where I am ready and desiring to explore new possibilities. While I would never say no to doing one more review, interview, or opinion piece, the time feels right to explore new avenues inside of gaming to help further the medium. The audience, my wonderful, talented co-workers, and the last year at Rev 3 Games will forever be appreciated for what was accomplished. There never was a right time to part ways with something that had become as natural as breathing, but things do end, and now feels right. And I can almost hear him saying that in my head as I read it out loud. I saw some people talk about this on Kotaku. They're kind of wondering if maybe YouTube's comment community kind of spurred this on. Well, and that's pure speculation at best, because Sessler seems like the kind of guy who wouldn't let it get to him, but, you know, if enough people call you a piece of shit, eventually it's going to get to you. That's partially why I've turned off comments whenever I do post anything to YouTube. I mean, I can only hear I'm fat so many times before I'm like, man, can you, like, fuck off? So Sessler leaving the industry, that's huge, man. That is. So I kind of wonder who I'm going to follow now. I mean, it's different because I really looked forward to Sessler something on Tuesdays on Rev 3 Games. I mean, I'm still going to follow Terra. I love Scott Bromley. And I'm a big fan of Max Scoville and the guy from Gymquisition. Though I don't follow his stuff as closely anymore. So, I don't know. I think we've lost the face of game journalism, at least professional and established and well-liked. So I kind of wonder who's going to step up to fill his shoes now that there's this this gap, so to speak. So, Adam, thank you for 16 years of fantastic work. While we may not have agreed on everything, I wish you the best success in the world, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. Okay, so the last story we have today, and then I'm going to kind of bring this round trip to Marvel again. So, two stories, technically. Bonus one today. So, scientists are talking about a new theory. Now, a new theory about why there was a mass extinction event about 250 million years ago. And that was the end of the Permian era. Now, you might be thinking, why the fuck do we care? Now, back when this happened, 97% of all species on Earth died. This was actually called the Great Dying. It was so bad that not even insects survived. Trilobites died. Trees died. I think the only thing left were like some basic land plants survived. And there was theories like, was this a gamma ray burst? Was it a greenhouse effect? And one theory that's kind of making its way, and they've got some pretty good data on it, microbes. Okay. And they think what happened is they may have changed the environment, where it basically it acidified the sea and it produced methane. And basically, it's kind of incredible that something, just a little tiny, tiny microbe, could have killed everything. And it's so lucky that basically life came out of this and survived afterwards. Because, you know, it wouldn't have taken a lot to wipe life out again. I mean, if we'd been hit by a comet or an asteroid during the Great Dying, that's all she wrote. But they found evidence in some rocks. And I'm actually going to I'm actually going to link this. It's one of these things where I wish I was just a little bit smarter to grasp the enormity of something like this. Because, as you guys know, I love science. But it's interesting, though, because for this microbe to do what it did, it needed nickel to make it happen. And it can basically what this thing done, this microbe, was convert organic matter into methane, which would turn into carbon dioxide. And, well, global temperatures increasing, the sea becoming more acidic, and just pew, that's it. So, yeah, that's the new idea that the Great Dying, this is how it may have happened, or at least may have been helped along by this. So, yeah, I'm going to post the link that comes from Ars Technica. Like I said, I'm likely getting a good chunk of the science wrong, but it's interesting nonetheless. I think you should check it out because it's important to know where we came from, to know where we're going, considering NASA's predicted the end of humanity within the next couple of decades if things don't change and change now. All right, final story today. Kevin Feige, the guy over at Marvel, the dude, Marvel Studios president, has said they kind of have an outline for the Marvel Universe as far as 2028. Holy crap. That's really impressive, because the fact that the Marvel Universe is surviving without Spider-Man, without the Fantastic Four, and without the X-Men. And people don't care. Well, they care, but you know what I mean? In terms of narrative, it's not affecting anything, really. And that's really cool. I mean, the fact that we're even getting a Guardians of the Galaxy, a D-list team, if ever there was one, because I remember hearing about the Guardians of the Galaxy back in the 90s. I could give a shit less about them. The Nova Corps, basically Marvel's ripoff of the Green Lantern. Once again, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Tell me how wrong I am. But yeah, Marvel knows they've got a winner here. And now with Age of Ultron coming out next May, we got Ant-Man coming out a couple months later. There's three more movies. There's a new Captain America is probably going to be made in there. Doctor Strange is being talked about. And who knows what else in there. Thor 3, likely, which I'm really surprised Thor went beyond the first one. Though Dark World, while flawed, is ultimately really enjoyable. There's even talk of a Black Widow movie. So the fact that they've got this kind of figured out, that's impressive to me. And I would say, if Marvel doesn't get the rights back to Spider-Man, the X-Men, Fantastic Four, then I don't think it's gonna hurt them. I'd love to see them do something with, like, Civil War and with the Winter Soldier storyline, and hopefully this does well at theaters. I don't see why it wouldn't. We could see that. Like, Civil War, trying to think of other big Marvel events I'd love to see. Well, they can't use the word mutant, so we couldn't do House of M. But that would be something for the X-Men franchise to check out, considering X-Men Apocalypse is coming out in 2016. But back to Marvel Studios. Yeah, I'm trying to think what else. Like, any of the big Avengers storylines, obviously. The Kree-Skrull War, because we've already seen the Chitauri. The blue alien on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's a Kree, according to the actress. Although she had to recant her statement. I'm a little curious about that one, but whatever. So, yeah, Marvel's got their crap together. So, who knows what's going to happen. I'm excited the fact that they've got it planned out this far. It's going to be better than the Star Wars movies, man. I'm so happy to be a Marvel fan right now. It's ridiculous. So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for me on the show this week. There is going to be a review show out over the next couple of days. I'm recording a new rad, which I'm just going to do audio because I'm not posting to that guy with the glasses at the moment for whatever reason. So yeah, I'm just going to be my review on Infamous 2 Second Son. It'll be my first PlayStation 4 review. And then I'll probably do something for Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes in the review show with Blair, because we have got a lot of Blu-rays to talk about, including Knights of Badassdom, which I'm hoping to watch tonight. I've been looking forward to that movie for so long. So hopefully it doesn't suck. Anyway, guys, so I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd for ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hoping you have a happy and safe weekend. Go check out Captain America the Winter Soldier. You will not regret it. Buy the toys. They are very cool. I'll talk about those during the review show as well. So anyway, until next time, been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again, probably on Monday, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
Oh, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico. Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak, die, holy crap, whoa, where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random, I don't know, maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.